Hey there, welcome to the program. It's Gary Zimek. So glad to have you with us for day 12. Believe it or not, today is the end of the first part of our 33-day preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. Today we wrap up our ridding ourselves of the spirit of the world. Now, does that mean we're going to completely be rid of the spirit of the world? No, but it's a start. Remember what I said on the program yesterday. This total consecration preparation will never be made in a perfect manner. So let's not try to be perfect. That's one of the ways that the enemy gets in our head and tries to get us to stop doing this. He wants to convince you that you didn't do a good job preparing for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. Your job and my job is to ask the Holy Spirit, as we do every day when we do these preparations, to help us and to do the best job that we can. That's all we could do. I can't do more than the best job that I can and ask the Holy Spirit for help. I mean, that's the best I can do. Is it going to be perfect? No, there's going to be some problems with the way we do our total consecration preparation. That's why we get to renew it every year. I talked about that on the show yesterday. But today we wrap up the first phase. And really, St. Louis de Montfort, when he proposed this 33-day plan, he said it can be added to, it can be subtracted from, depending on the situation. But he recommends 33 days, and he said the first 12 days should be devoted to ridding ourselves of the spirit of the world. That's what we've tried to do. We've tried to look at the world and say, look, the world thinks differently than we as Christians do. And we have to recognize we're in the world. We're going to be influenced by the world. So we have to try to dust ourselves off a little bit. That's what we've been doing. Today, we'll continue looking at the book Consecration to Jesus Through Mary by myconsecration.org, and we'll look at the world's sadness. I think this is important for us to recognize. People are sad out there. People are hopeless. People are depressed. We have the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ and our Blessed Mother. The secret weapon is going to draw us closer to Jesus. She's going to take us by the hand, and sometimes we'll fight. Sometimes we'll go kicking and screaming, but Mary is going to take us by the hand and help us. And that's why I'm so excited to be able to lead this total consecration once again. Also on the show today, we're going to open our scripture, our sacred scripture, and read the Mass readings for this coming Sunday's Mass. So that's going to be Sunday of the 24th week in ordinary time, 24th Sunday in ordinary time. We're going to look at those readings as well. So we've got a lot to do on the show today. First, we're going to kick things off with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thanks for bringing us here again together on Blog Talk Radio. We're ready to get started, Father. We're ready to wrap up our look at the world, trying to rid ourselves of the spirit of the world. We're stuck here. We're in the midst of it, Father. We know that. You know that. But help us to be able to shake off some of the dust that we accumulate by living in the world. Help keep us focused on the goal here, which is to grow closer to your Son, Jesus, with the help of the Blessed Mother. We ask you, Father, to help us, to help our friends, our families, all those who have asked for our prayers. We ask you to help everyone to be able to grow closer to you, everyone in our midst. Use us in any way that we can help, and so that we can help them to grow closer to you. I ask you, Father, to speak through me on the program today. Give me the words. You have a better idea than I do what I should say. And we ask you to open up our minds and our hearts so that we can be receptive to your message. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. And Saint Louis de Montfort, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, ready to get started? Excuse me, I need to, as I said that, I swallowed wrong and I almost started coughing. Beverage du jour today, just a nice big glass of water. Hope you got your beverage and your snack and you're ready to get started. Quick reminder, followingthetruth.com is the place to go to check out all of my work, my books, my see some videos of my talks. You can find out about the new podcast for Warriors, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Please stop on over there if you haven't done so. Also, you can purchase Mystic Monk Coffee. And when you do these things, you subscribe to the podcast, you purchase the Mystic Monk Coffee, that helps me. That helps me be able to continue in my full-time ministry. So if you'd like me to continue, please, I would appreciate it if you'd help me out there by going to followingthetruth.com. Also, if you ever check out the National Catholic Register, I'm now blogging for them about worry and how we can deal with worry on a Christian level. My second post is up there today at ncregister.com. Make sure you check it out. The Lord said so many times to us in the pages of the Bible, be not afraid. He talks about this. We should have no fear. Why is that? Isn't that the obvious question? Well, why shouldn't I be afraid? I answer that question in the blog post today. So make sure you check it out if you're someone who, like me, has a tendency to be anxious. So check that out. And very simple answer. Why shouldn't I be afraid, Lord? I mean, I ask the questions that sometimes we think about, and but we're a little afraid to ask. Shouldn't be afraid to ask questions. The Lord wants us to ask questions. That's how we grow closer to Him. Okay, the meditation for day 12, the world's sadness. A man approached Jesus seeking eternal life. Jesus looked upon him and loved him. And he said, you lack just one thing. Go sell all that you have and come follow me. The man went away sad, for he had many possessions. You can find this in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. Why was the man sad? And why was the man sad when he still had all of his possessions? Because he missed out. He had made the wrong choice. The disciples' joy. Jesus told two parables about true disciples. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field. A person finds the treasure and out of joy sells all to buy the field. The kingdom of heaven is also like a merchant who finds the pearl of great price. He too sells all and buys that pearl. What a contrast. The men in the parables have nothing left but are filled with joy because they gained the kingdom. All right, you're seeing, remember, this is a look, these 12 days, this is an attempt to shake the world's dust off of our bodies. You know, we're influenced by the world. This is the message of the world. You turn on the TV, you look on the internet, you're going to see this. People who have money, who have extravagant homes, the rich and the famous, they're really happy. That's the illusion. But we all know, we've seen enough stories, and many of us have had things in our lives, or we thought would buy something and it would make us happy, and we find out that doesn't last. It's not lasting happiness. It's just a momentary, it's just a momentary feeling of happiness, right? But it's not lasting. Happiness does not come from things. Happiness does not come from external events. If this happens, then I'll be happy. We might think it does, and temporarily it might, but ultimately happiness comes from a relationship with God. That's happiness. That's what happiness, lasting happiness, comes from a relationship with God. And we can have that relationship, and we can have that happiness even in the midst of suffering. I know it sounds like a contradiction. It doesn't make sense. That's the beauty of Christianity. Often it doesn't make sense, because we look at Christianity with our worldly goggles on, but it doesn't add up. The message of Christ goes against the message of the world. Let's take a look at sadness now. Children experience many moments of sadness because they hope so easily. Although frequently disappointed, they quickly get over it. Sadness in adults is more deeply rooted. Disappointments linger. Hopes are destroyed. Too much water under the bridge, they say. Cynicism, discouragement, and even poor health come from the sadness of having no purpose to life. Christ's remedy is hope, and Mary scatters these seeds of hope generously in souls who follow her. Nothing equals a conversion experience. As Jesus says, you are born again to new life. Now, look at all your worldly possessions. Consider all that you have. Obviously, something is missing. You have discovered another desire. You want to consecrate yourself to Jesus through Mary. You'll make a choice. imitate the disciples, not the rich young man. It's nerve-wracking sometimes, isn't it, to think that the Lord said, in order to follow him, we may have to leave some things behind. Doesn't mean you can't have possessions. Doesn't mean you can't be rich even. But when the money, when the possessions get in the way of your relationship with Christ, and they can. In my life, they have, big time in the past. When I had a lot of money in the bank, I really didn't trust the Lord. I didn't feel like I needed to trust him. I didn't turn to him because I thought I was covered. I had the money in the bank. Now that that's not the case, I really need him. And I get that. You know, it's funny. We fool ourselves sometimes. We fool ourselves into thinking that we're in control. But in reality, we're never in control. God's in control at all times. Possessions can get in the way. Comfort can get in the way. People can get in the way. Because oftentimes, certain people are more important to us than God. An example of that would be somebody who tries to convince you that you should skip Mass on Sunday because they want to do something fun with you, right? Somebody that convinces you that you should do something that's immoral because it feels good. That's a problem. That's putting a person before God. It happens all the time. So we have to be careful about that. And when we look in this final day at these reflections, we're going to realize that sometimes our possessions, things, people can get in the way of our relationship with the Lord. If you expect to have peace in your life, if you expect to get to heaven, that can't be the case. And this is going to be something that you gradually have to work on throughout your life. It won't happen immediately, but gradually you pray for the desire to love God more than things. That's happened in my life. I've shared the story before. I've been a big collector. I've always was a collector of everything imaginable. And it wasn't even so much having the things that gave me a thrill or looking at the things, enjoying the things. It was just knowing that they were there, magazines and baseball cards and comic books and all kinds of things. I collected so many things throughout my life. And I just wanted to go out and get more and more. And I'd get something new in the mail, and it's like, ah, yeah, I got something new. And then I'd put it in a drawer somewhere. I wouldn't even care about it, you know? But that was wrong. That was wrong. Because at the same time, I was completely neglecting my relationship with God. I wasn't praying like I should. I didn't turn to him for comfort. And again, there's nothing wrong with things, but when they become more important in your life to you than God, that's a big problem. Only you and God are going to know that. And that's going to come from you talking to him, having that discussion with him every day and getting to know him better. And then his Holy Spirit's going to let you know, uh-oh, I think I'm going down the wrong track here. Total consecration is a great remedy for that because the Blessed Mother's going to help you out too. She'll gently, and she's a mom, so she's going to gently do this, gently nudge you in the right direction. The decision of St. Francis of Assisi. As Francis was praying in St. Damian Church, Christ spoke to him from the crucifix, and he said, "Rebuild my church." Francis went home, took a horse load of expensive cloth, sold both the horse and the cloth, and gave the money to the pastor, who would not take it. Outraged, his father brought Francis before the bishop, who ordered him to repay the money. Besides doing that, Francis gave all his clothes back to his father, and was given the clothing of a day laborer. He left the city in joy, proclaiming, "I am the herald of the great king." So listen, on this final day of the first part of total consecration preparation, the first 12 days, I want you to think about possessions, things, and I want you to look at the world and the world's message. You don't need me to tell you this. You have money, you have possessions, you have an incredibly beautiful house, you're going to be happy. That's the world's message. You're going to be living the life of luxury. The problem is, that's a disordered happiness. Not only is it not lasting, it's a disordered happiness. It's not real happiness. And it goes against God's plan. God's plan is for us to be eternally happy in heaven. Well, of course, his original plan was for us to have happiness in this life. But Adam and Eve messed that up. And as a result, the world was fractured. The relationship with God and man was fractured. and death entered the world, and, you know, a lot of unhappiness resulted because of that. So if we try to turn this fallen world into heaven, number one, it won't work, but number two, that's not the way it was planned to be. God, we need to follow his plan, and his plan is once that relationship between God and man was damaged, then Jesus was sent into the world to give us the way to heaven. He is the way to get to heaven. That way is through the cross. So that's going to mean you're going to have some suffering in your life. We can't change God's plan. Otherwise, it's just not going to work. St. Louis de Montfort writes, "Rejoice, O Christian, without any schooling, because you know the secrets of the kingdom. To possess the kingdom, we must seek it ardently and be ready to surrender everything. Joyful is the soul where Mary, the tree of life, is planted. God's least servant is richer than any king or emperor. How rich is that servant who has given God everything without condition." And as we wrap up the first part, the first 12 days of this total consecration preparation, let's close by praying, saying a prayer to the Blessed Mother, asking her for her intercession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Keeping it simple today, but I wanted to just close with that simple prayer and to ask the Blessed Mother to guide us, to help us as we complete the first part of our preparation. See, look, you made it through the longest segment, the first 12-day period, you made it through. After this, we have a 7-day period focused on ourselves, looking inside of ourselves and our sinfulness. Oh boy, I bet you can't wait to get that one started. That's going to start tomorrow. And then we'll do a week on the Blessed Mother and a week on Jesus. And then guess what? It's October the 7th. It's time for total consecration. So you're going to see the first 12 days really flew by. The rest of it's going to go by equally as fast. All right, I'm going to take a little breather. And when I come back, we're going to look at the Mass readings for Sunday's Mass. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Gary Zimak Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Ben Carroll is used to delivering the Columbus Dispatch newspaper to the community of Hilltop, Ohio every morning at 5 a.m. But in 2013, he added an extra duty to his usual routine, saving lives. The 28-year-old smelled smoke and saw flames coming from the side of a two-story house on his route. He quickly called the fire department and started banging on the door. When no one answered, he peered through the window and saw a child, so he frantically banged even more. A resident finally came to the door, but thought he was being pranked. Ben insisted, "Dude, your house is on fire!" When the resident saw the flames himself, he rushed to wake up the other 4 adults and 6 children in the house. They all ran to safety and thanked their conscientious newspaper carrier. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
And welcome back to the program. Now we concluded the first 12 days of our total consecration preparation. And if you have any questions, I forgot to mention, please email me. You can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Let's now look. And by the way, thanks for sticking around. I think it's really important that we do both parts of this program. Now we're going to look at God's Word as spoken through the Mass readings for the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time. That's going to be on Sunday, so we're going to look at it in advance as we do every Friday here on the program. Okay, let me see. The first reading is from the book of Sirach, chapter 27, beginning in verse 30. "Wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight. The vengeful will suffer the Lord's vengeance, for he remembers their sins in detail. Forgive your neighbor's injustice. Then when you pray, your own sins will be forgiven. Could anyone nourish anger against another and expect healing from the Lord? Could anyone refuse mercy to another like himself? Can he seek pardon for his own sins? If one who is but flesh cherishes wrath, who will forgive his sins? Remember your last days. Set enmity aside. Remember death and decay, and cease from sin. Think of the commandments, hate not your neighbor. Remember the Most High's covenant, and overlook faults." Boy, this message is clear. I can't sugarcoat this one. You know what the Lord's saying to us today? We're going to look at all the readings, of course, and tie them in together. But obviously, come on, let's get real here. We need to forgive others. Somebody offends you, you have to forgive them. I know, Gary, but it's tough. It doesn't matter. Forgiveness is an act of the will. With God's help, you're able to do it. And any one of us can say those words, I forgive this person. You might not even get to talk to the person for whatever reason. Excuse me. You might not see the person, but you can say in your mind to the Lord, hey, Lord, I forgive them. They hurt me really badly, but I forgive them. You can say those words. Your skin might still be crawling. You might have a sick feeling in the pit of your stomach, but you can say those words. Forgiveness isn't a feeling. It's an act of the will. You're not going to get to heaven unless you do that. Period. I mean, I can't sugarcoat it. I know, but Gary, these people are they're so nasty to me, I can't do this. Well, this is why you're making total consecration, because you're going to get Mary to help you. It's hard. There are people that I have a hard time forgiving too. But I know I have to do it. The Lord doesn't give any shortcuts when it comes to that. He said it. Look, if he could forgive the people who put him on the cross while he was on the cross and say, Father, forgive them for they know what not they do. If he could do that, you could do it too with his help. The psalm, that's really clear. That's the message. Psalm 103, the Lord is kind and merciful, slow to anger and rich in compassion. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He pardons all your iniquities, heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction. Crowns you with kindness and compassion. He will not always chide, nor does he keep his wrath forever. Not according to our sins does he deal with us, nor does he requite us according to our crimes. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so surpassing is his kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he put our transgressions from us. The Lord's going to forgive us. But you know the words to the Lord's Prayer as well as I do. He's going to forgive us our trespasses. What? As we forgive those who trespass against us. So if I don't forgive you, I'm basically saying when I pray the Our Father, if I don't forgive you, hey, Lord, don't forgive me because I'm not forgiving my buddy Charlie, right? My buddy Charlie, I don't know where I came up with that. My inner Philly is coming out there, my buddy Charlie. Wow. Anyway, today's second reading. Boy, there's a theme here. You know, I mean, this is pretty clear. Second reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, none of us lives for oneself, and no one dies for oneself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For this is why Christ died and came to life, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. If we're going to be Christians, our goal is to no longer live for ourselves, but to live for Christ. That's a goal. That's a gradual process. You know, that happens over the course of your life. We're going to be on that journey throughout our lives, living for Christ, not living for ourselves. It's that whole thing with the rich young man that we talked about a few minutes ago in total consecration preparation. He didn't want to give up his possessions. He didn't want to give up the joy that those possessions, at least the possession, the joy that he thought he had, he didn't want to give it up. He wasn't willing to break away. And most of us are on that road once we really accept the call of Christ, who says to us, follow him or follow me. We're gradually on that road. You know, it's like, all right, I know I have to break from the things that are keeping me away from you, Lord, but it's tough. You know, I'm going to do it on my timetable, right? But that's a gradual process. As long as we're on that road, that's what really counts. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35, Peter approached Jesus and he asked him, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as seven times? Well, Jesus answered, I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full." Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When the servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, "Pay back what you owe." And falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant, as I had pity on you?" Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. "So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart." Okay. I don't know. I don't think I have to add that much. It's hard, isn't it? That's what I always tell you. Christianity isn't for wimps. If you think Christianity is easy, if you're comfortable with your Christian faith, you're not doing it right, because it's hard. It's radical. You can expect people to oppose you. And if you don't, you have to ask yourself, am I not being persecuted? Do people even know that I'm a Christian? Because let me tell you, once they know, and those of you who go out and try to proclaim your Christian faith, you get it. You totally get it. You're going to encounter people who are not happy, because the values of Christianity absolutely conflict with the message proposed by society. So if you're not getting any persecution, ask yourself, am I really doing a good job being a Christian? We have to forgive others. We have to forgive others. That includes terrorists and mass murderers, child abusers, whatever. We have to forgive these people. Doesn't mean they don't get punished by the legal system, but we have to forgive them, including the guy who made fun of you behind your back and you found out from a friend, or the person who sent you a nasty email, or the customer who called you a bad name. We have to forgive these people. Doesn't mean you have to subject yourself to repeated abuse. There's a time when you can just walk away. The Lord doesn't expect you to be abused, but he does expect you to forgive. The message is incredibly clear. And look, most of us forgive up to a certain point. All right, you wronged me 10 times, but you know what? Now it's time 11. I'm done. We make up that point, don't we? We set that limit. And we say, all right, that's it, that's it. I've forgiven you so many times, no more. That's it. Jesus said 70 times 7, or 77. He says it differently in different places in the Gospels. It means an infinite number. You must always forgive when somebody comes to you. Somebody wrongs you. You have to forgive them. And really, there is no getting around that. I could keep saying it, but I think you get the message. Ask for the grace. Ask for the grace to be able to forgive. Take a look. Ask the Holy Spirit, who in your life do you need to forgive? Ask for the grace if you have to, and then say these words tonight. I forgive them. I forgive this person. You might have a few people. Just say those words. I forgive them, and then say a prayer for them, because that really seals the deal. If you're praying for that person, then you obviously are wishing the best for them. You're loving that person. I'm not saying you have to contact them and go out for a beer with them, but you have to forgive them. That's the way you're going to get to heaven. And just think of Christ on the cross. Understand also that the Blessed Mother is standing by ready to help us. And that's why total consecration is so powerful. Okay, before I wrap up, remember, 15-minute shows Saturday and Sunday. You can't even get rid of me for the weekends. Isn't that amazing? So we're going to be back here tomorrow as we kick off day 13 of our preparation for total consecration. I'm telling you, we're getting there. Tomorrow we begin that look that I told you, knowledge of self and sorrow for sin. I mean, look, you can't go to a doctor without knowing what hurts, or what's, you know you got a stomach ache or something, then you go to the doctor. That really helps. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to look inside of ourselves and It won't be that much fun. I'm not going to lie. It's not going to be that much fun because you're going to realize you're not as good as you think you are. It's okay, because the whole point of this is to try to get help. We're going to go to the divine physician, Jesus Christ, to heal us with the help of his blessed mother. She's going to get us to him. He's going to heal us. That's the point. If you have questions, remember, contact me through my website, followingthetruth.com. And again, if you feel so moved to send a donation my way, it would really help me. So if you're able to go to followingthetruth.com and click on support, you know, maybe you've listened for a long time. And, you know, I have this tendency. I know what you mean. You're listening. You're thinking, oh, yeah, I'll get to it or whatever. It really means a lot. And if you don't do it, that may make the difference in me having to shut down the operation one day. So if you're able to do it, could you please help me out? If you can, please. I don't want you to give your rent money away. But if you have something extra, give me your extra coffee money or something, so that I can keep going, so that I can keep proclaiming the good news. It's really tough to be in this position. It's never something I thought I would have to do, but I am dependent on donations to keep going. So if you're able to do that, that would be a great help. You go to followingthetruth.com, click on support. You can either become a monthly sponsor or a one-time, make a one-time donation. I could really use some new monthly sponsors. Hint, hint. You can also subscribe to the podcast, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. That's a big deal as well to me. Every day I've been getting a few more people, but I have a long way to go in order for that to start pulling in the income that I need. But you can really help me out by checking that out. And then there's Mystic Monk Coffee. I got a check from the Mystic Monks today. It doesn't add up to much, but if you're a coffee drinker and you would get the coffee through my website, it's great coffee, by the way, that would help me too. Okay, enough of the commercial. You're fantastic. Thanks for listening. Let me know if you have any questions, and I will see you tomorrow. God bless you, and remember, we have to forgive. Talk to you next time. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.